Hi, everyone. So we are going to start our discussion on working towards an exposure draft for the second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs standard. I wanted to start by setting out how we are going to structure the board discussion today. As mentioned in the cover paper, we have three papers for discussion today. I will kick off the discussion with agenda paper 38. When he will then move on to agenda paper 30B on the 2018 conceptual framework, the board will discuss, and when he will ask the question in agenda paper 30B, I will then move on to agenda paper 30C. The board will discuss, and I will ask the question in agenda paper 30C. So with that, I will introduce agenda paper 30A, which is an overview of the feedback from SME preparers interviews. We don't have questions in that particular paper, but we welcome comments or questions on the feedback in the paper. As discussed at the March board meeting, the staff have undertaken outreach meetings with SME preparers to obtain additional feedback about their experience of applying the IFRS for SMEs standard based on IFRS standards and the information they are regularly asked to provide to lenders and other users of their financial statements to better understand users' information needs. Agenda paper 30A summarizes the feedback from this additional outreach. The overriding messages from preparers are outlined on slide 7 of the agenda paper and highlight the importance for SME preparers of a stable platform, substantially fewer disclosures compared to IFRS standards, and the need to keep the IFRS for SMEs standard simple. Slide 8 outlines the two approaches to alignment, the simplified IFRS standard approach and the independent standard approach, as discussed in the request for information. The biggest challenges of SME preparers when preparing financial statements are outlined on slide 11 and include mainly limited resources, lack of knowledge of accounting standards, and obtaining data from management. As outlined on slide 12, there was broad support for alignment amongst preparers, but only when it is helpful for SMEs. Slide 13 outlines the overall feedback from SME preparers on aligning the IFRS for SMEs standard with the simplified approach to the impairment of financial assets in IFRS 9, with the requirements in IFRS 16 and IFRS 15. The staff will bring the specific feedback on these IFRS standards to the board's attention in the papers when we will analyze possible alignment with these standards. Other comments from outreach meetings with SME preparers are noted on slide 15. One message that was recurrent during the meetings was the scope of the IFRS for SMEs standards. Many preparers said the scope should be amended to allow some entities that are publicly accountable to apply the standard, such as small credit unions and small private banks. Finally, the key messages from SME preparers on users' information needs are outlined on slide 17, and the feedback we heard is consistent with SME interviews' findings previously reported to the board. Do board members have any comments or questions on the feedback discussed in the paper? Thank you.
Thank you, Yusuf. Okay, who has any comments to make? No? I don't think there is a need. Oh, Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans. Firstly, thanks to the staff for reaching these preparers, listening to them. I think it completed well our outreach process and well done. In relation to some comments, especially on slide 15, that the majority of SMEs in each jurisdiction are small and micro-sized entities. I agree with that. Definitely the majority. I think that is equally in all countries. But I'm not sure whether there is a need for a third separate standard. If one believes the guidance is complicated, in my view, it is likely that the transaction it entered into is not simple, or the guidance that we have, IFRS or SME standard, is not applicable to that transaction specifically. On the other hand, I believe that this feedback should be make us assess whether we should update our guidance for micro-sized entity. I think that it could help to or facilitate the interaction between these entities and what we have today in the IFRS for SMEs standard. There is another comment here from preparers that a single quantified size criteria applied across jurisdictions for determining what is an SME would be helpful. Well, I believe we have already discussed about the scope of the standard and the definition of an SME and how complicated it could be to introduce a, let's say, quantitative threshold, as some jurisdictions have already done, but we can't do that into this standard. I still believe that the definition of an SME for the purpose of using the standard further to one that we have the standard should be a joint work of national standard setters, local regulators, not to be dealt with in the standard. I think it is likely that it could be better further restricted if this is the case by each jurisdiction. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tadeu. Anne?
Thanks, Hans. Thanks, Youssef. I think it's great to have this additional feedback to add to all the other feedback you've collected. And there's lots of things in here that are consistent with what you've heard from the other areas. So I have two things. One is a comment and one's a question. So slide 11, I noticed that there was feedback on the areas that SMEs find challenging. It wasn't surprising to us to see impairment testing there, but also the comments on finance lease. And I thought that would be interesting for you to carry forward when we're doing the later work on IFRS 16, because I think that some of us anyway have assumed that already in IFRS for SMEs were the mechanics for doing finance leases, and therefore people may well be able to take on more finance leases under IFRS 16 if we were updating this IFRS for SMEs on that topic. So it'd just be good if you keep that feedback so that can feed in, because it's being raised here as a issue. The second thing I wanted to ask was, it's in relation to undue cost and effort. In paper 30B, you talk about feedback from preparers in that paper 30B, saying that some people think the undue cost and effort provisions should be removed because they challenge preparers. So I wanted to ask you, did these particular preparers make any reference to undue cost and effort, because it's not in the slides? Thank you.
Rika?
Thank you. I only have one comment on the big challenge for disclosure. I think more complicated accounting models and treatment require the extensive level of disclosure, which is necessary for a user to understand the financial statement. So sometimes the challenge is indispensable. So I suggest the staff, when we are going to discuss about the accounting treatment and modifying some accounting treatment, I think we should consider how that might impact the content of disclosure or challenges mm-hmm. of the disclosure. That might help. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. I see so no... Yeah.
If I may respond to Anne's comment. Yes. So during the interviews with SME preparers, we did not hear specific feedback on the undue cost or effort concept. But the general message that we heard from SME preparers is to keep the standard simple, the overriding message, but nothing specific on the undue cost or effort exemption.
Okay. Then I think we are ready to move to the second paper. Yusuf?
Yes, so when he will...
Yeah,
Wan Hee, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Agenda paper 13B asks the board to decide whether to develop amendment to the IFRS for SME standards to align with the 2018 conceptual framework. The request for information asks for the views on aligning Section 2 with the 2018 conceptual framework, make appropriate amendments to other sections of the IFRS for SME standards as a result of aligning Section 2 with the 2018 conceptual framework, and retaining the concept of undue cost or effort. The overall feedback on the request for information supported aligning Section 2 with the 2018 conceptual framework, make appropriate amendments to other sections of the IFRS for SME standards, and retaining the concept of undue cost or effort. There was some feedback addressing the status of Section 2. This is because the status of Section 2 has the same authorities as other sections of the IFRS for SME standards, and they differ for the status of the 2018 conceptual framework. In circumstances in which the standard does not specifically address a transaction, Section 2 of the IFRS for SME standards requires an entity's management to refer to Section 2 in exercising judgment in developing and applying accounting policies. For this reason, the staff recommend the board leave the status of Section 2 unchanged. There was also some feedback about potential inconsistencies of aligning Section 2 with the 2018 conceptual framework. Because of the status of Section 2, attention is created if there are inconsistencies between Section 2 and other sections of the IFRS for SME standard. To address this tension, the staff are recommending the board edit a paragraph to the IFRS for SME standard, emphasizing that the specific requirements of the other sections of the IFRS for SME standards take precedence over the requirements in Section 2. The staff acknowledge that the board is in the early stage of the deliberating the feedback to the request for information and developing amendment to the IFRS for SME standards. The staff therefore think it would be effective for the board to undertake a review of potential inconsistencies between other sections of the IFRS for SME standards and an updated version of the Section 2 aligned with the 2018 conceptual framework. On the concept of undue cost or effort, the staff recommend the board retain the concept and consider adding further explanatory notes and examples in Module 2, Concept and Pervasive Principles, on the concept of undue cost or effort if the board decides to update the IFRS for SME modules. The staff do not recommend the board replace the concept of undue cost or effort with simpler options. And now I will hand over to the board for discussions. The questions for the board are set out on page 20 of the agenda paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Who wants to open the discussions? Anne.
Yes, Anne, so I'll open the discussions. Thank you, Wendy. I think this was an important issue to consider and to consider it early. I think it was really important to address the matters that have been raised in relation to Section 2 and the conceptual framework. Excuse me. And I agree with the proposals from the staff, because it doesn't seem logical to me to update the IFRS for SMEs Section 2, to update the IFRS for SMEs and not incorporate the new thinking of the conceptual framework into Section 2. To me, that just doesn't seem a logical thing to do. It doesn't make sense to be considering updating for other IFRS standards, but not to think about the conceptual framework in Section 2. So I agree with what you're proposing. I think the paper does a good job to present the feedback from the stakeholders, which is largely supportive of what you're proposing. And I think the paper also effectively addresses the things that were areas of concern. So for some stakeholders, if they disagreed, the paper has explained why those disagreements can be discounted, or if there was something that needed to be addressed, and when he has explained those particular things, the override paragraph, and then later on the review of inconsistencies, and indeed the recommendations around undue cost and effort. So I think the paper's comprehensive. I think it's all well set out, and I agree with the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Bruce.
Thanks, Hanson, and thanks to the staff. Just a couple of comments on it. I mean, I'm not unhappy with where we've got to in terms of the recommendations. Just a couple of specific ones. The first one was on the status of Section 2. When I discussed it, I proposed I think we should move this into an appendix. I mean, we don't give this the status of a standard in full IFRS, and I guess by leaving this or retaining this in Section 2, in hindsight, I think what we've done is we've elevated this into a standard itself. And to me, an easy resolve to that would have been to put this in an appendix and kind of give it the right status. So it's just something I would have wanted the staff to look at, just in terms of whether we think that would be a better approach to that. As far as the other ones go, I mean, I like the whole principle of it. Yes, we need the override, comfortable with that. Didn't really, the inconsistencies we do need to keep an eye on, so I'm comfortable looking at those, because I think it's a good thing for us to look at, because my worry is that when you do start the alignment with the conceptual framework or the revised conceptual framework, we need to be conscious that there are decisions we're going to make further down the line that may not be consistent with that, especially if it's now given the status of being part of the standard. And I think about certain things like, I mean, if you think about IFRS 16, we've taken the decision we believe leases create liabilities. Now, we haven't had a discussion on that yet, but conceivably we could come into a decision that says for SMEs, we don't think that the right answer is to capitalize everything. If we have part of the standard that the same definitions, now we've got to reconcile in our minds why are we overriding that. So I also think that to me is why I would have moved this to an appendix, because I think it would have been easier for us to have reconciled where we've moved away from it, or we've given the standard has become the override to that. Just lastly on the undue cost and effort, I mean, absolutely, we need to retain undue cost and effort. I just recall there was a call for additional guidance on that. I'm trying to work out how we do that meaningfully and usefully, because I do think this is a concept that is difficult to apply. And I think you've got to also bear in mind that the majority of users of the standard don't have the sophistication that we sometimes see in large IFRS with big corporates. And I think that there does become a point of friction between auditors or regulators and the preparers, where those may be different, or even where the auditors are preparing these, where the management aren't particularly happy with that. And I just think that some additional guidance and undue cost and effort from my experience would be useful, because I think otherwise people throw that around as a great reason for why I just don't feel like doing something. And without guidance, that can become a bit tricky. So thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Jen Chow.
Thank you, Hans. I also would like to thank Wenyi. I think it's a very good paper, particularly it bring very balanced views into the paper, particularly address some concerns raised by stakeholders and some SMIG members, and try to find a solution to those concerns. In relation to the questions, first about the status of Section 2, whether we should keep as it is or whether we need to change, for example, as Bruce mentioned, whether we need to move that Section 2 into the appendix. Actually, a couple of years ago, when I first looked at this issue, I exactly have had similar views as Bruce had. But after I dig into the details, particularly when I listen to the views from stakeholders, it seems that majority of stakeholders, after this standard has been implemented for, I think, at least more than 10 years, it seems that majority of the stakeholders, they think that Section 2 actually are very useful for them, particularly some basic definition concepts, I think are very helpful for them to understand of the accounting treatment included in other standards. So I think maybe because this is very simple standard, sometimes those basic concept definition play a significant role for preparers to understand our accounting treatment included in other sections. So there is a, I think there is an educational role played in relation to the section two. So this is the first. Second is because this is a simplified version of IFRS standards. So some matters were included in the standards, some matters was covered by for IFRS standards, but were not included in the IFRS for FCME standards. So having section two, I think may be helpful for the preparer to make judgments based on section two, or to help for them to select, you know, appropriate accounting policy. So this is, I think, another thing, I think, another benefit, I think, including make, you know, still retain the status of section two unchanged. Maybe there's several benefits here we can have. So I agree, I support staff to retain the status of section two unchanged. Particularly currently, we are not, we're just review this standard, not the fundamental look at or change these standards at this stage. And another thing, some people, I remember when we had a SMIG meeting or when we had outreach meeting with stakeholders, some people like to change the status of section two. I think their big worry is about inconsistency between section two and other sections. So I really appreciate staff's proposal to address this issue in order to resolve or to address this concern. So I think I agree that to introduce that override paragraph, that is paragraph 48, actually to can address that inconsistent, you know, concern between section two and others, particularly after we reintroduce the revised updated section two based on our new revised conceptual framework. I think it can reduce the concern arising from some stakeholders, and including, I think, one or two SMIG members. And another thing is also worthwhile, because we are also going to review potential inconsistency between revised section two and other sections. I think this work also could, you know, contribute and also contribute to address those concerns. So finally, about the undue cost and efforts, I think what I heard from stakeholders, actually majority of stakeholders think that notion is useful. What they need is about whether further guidance and explanation could be developed or could be included in the standards or other area to help them to apply this this notion, this concept. So I agree with staff to retain the concept of undue cost and efforts, and develop or maybe update or add some guidance or explanations in our module. So maybe can meet or address some concerns from stakeholders. But basically, retaining the concept of undue cost and efforts actually consistent with majority stakeholders' feedback. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jen Chao. Tadeo?
Thank you, Hans, and thanks, Winnie, for bringing the paper. I support the staff recommendation, and especially in relation to the introduction of the override paragraph. I think that it was a very good solution. I similar to Bruce and Jin Chao, I also thought that it should be moved out of the standard, put in an appendix with the special status. But I think the proposal from the staff, it's a good solution to reconcile the need to keep this in the standard, as we know that it deals with some important and necessary concept, not necessarily covered by other sections in the standard. with the status of, let's say, of a framework. Therefore, it's a good reconciliation solution. Again, I believe it solves my concern on whether this should be outside the standard. I think that it will work. Finally, I believe the application of the concept of undue cost or effort is not only clear feedback from the respondents, but in my view is an important practical consequence of the simplicity criterion, and I fully agree in retaining it. Thank you.
Mary?
Like others, I'm generally supportive of the staff proposals in this paper. I'm going to comment about a couple I agree with, just in terms of you considering the range of reasons looking forward to a basis for the ED. I think that the paragraph that you're proposing explaining the interaction of Chapter 2 with the requirements in other chapters is, as I think both Jen Zhou and Tadeo said, an elegant solution to the question, and I think the appropriate one rather than kind of demoting this. And one reason I say that is that I think a preparer using the IFRS for SME standard is going to have to make accounting policy decisions more than user of IFRS standards. And so therefore, I think they will be looking to Chapter 2 more as context for making that, or I'm hopeful that they would be looking to Chapter 2 more for context for making some of those accounting policy decisions about, you know, kind of the nitty-gritty, how do I operationalize this requirement or that requirement? So supportive of what you've proposed, also supportive of retaining undue cost and effort, I think, for the reasons others have said, but I think we should be very cautious about incorporating additional application guidance into the standard itself. And so I'd put a pretty high hurdle for incorporating additional guidance into the standard, as opposed to thinking about things. You know, you've talked about the maybe updating the modules to provide some helpful material in this area, and think about whether that's enough. Now, there are, I think, 4 points that I wanted to ask you to consider, and they're more nitty-gritty within this document. You had talked about, for Chapter 2, doing a scope that was really the purpose of the conceptual framework, and it reminded me about all the fun we had when we were doing the 2018 update, talking about whether it's for the board only, whether it's for the board and preparers. And you talked about adding a discussion of the purpose. I'm not sure a discussion of the purpose would be as helpful here. I think it will add kind of standard setters concept, you know, thinking about the role without directly adding value to users of the IFRS for SME standards. I think that kind of discussion is maybe more suitable in the basis for conclusion. And I think that the override paragraph that you have proposed is enough on the topic. Much as I think the measurement chapter was a significant, valuable add to our 2018 conceptual framework, I'm questioning whether we need a parallel to that in Chapter 2. And the reason I'm asking it is I have a sense, and I just want to ask you to think about whether this is correct or not, that there are fewer times when a preparer using the IFRS for SME standards has to make a decision about which measurement basis to use. I think we have eliminated some of the options that exist in IFRS standards. And if that's the case, the discussion on measurement is really going to be targeted more to us as standard setters making decisions. And I think it's then less necessary to put into Chapter 2 itself. If we go back to, Yusuf, the what's sometimes referred to as the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, you know, as instruction, us being the stupid, remember to keep it simple, not to make it complex. And sometimes a fixation on completion can do that. One thing I'd ask you to think about whether it would be valuable to add to Chapter 2 is in respect of going concern, some of the commentary that was included in the Interpretation Committee agenda decision in 2014 about thinking about disclosures about significant judgments. I don't know whether, A, it should go into the IFRS for SME at all, and if it should, if Chapter 2 is the right place. But going concern is one of the things talked about in that chapter, so ask you to think about that. And then the last is, you noted that the vocabulary in Chapter 2 right now is kind of all, you know, based on the earlier conceptual framework, and that it uses the word reliability. Now, one of our learnings and our painful learnings from the 2018 conceptual framework project was that when we talk about reliability, sometimes we mean reliability in the sense of faithful representation, and sometimes we mean it in the sense of measurement uncertainty. And it was a big deal when we updated the 2018 conceptual framework to say, the CF kind of focus is on faithful representation, and we have a separate discussion about measurement uncertainty and how it affects decisions. I this is a plea to update Chapter 2 so that when it means, when it's referring to reliability in the sense of faithful representation, that we use the phrase faithful representation instead of keeping this residual, no longer used in IFRS standards vocabulary, because it has been the source of so much problem in our life with IFRS standards. So those are some things that are, I think, second and third order to think about as you go forward with developing specific proposals. Thank you.
Tom?
Hello, can you hear me this time?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, good. So a couple of comments. A good paper, I'm generally supportive. Although I think Bruce's suggestion about thinking about the location of Chapter 2 is worth thinking about for a number of reasons, but I won't go into that because he discussed them. I do have a kind of a concern about Chapter 7 of the conceptual framework on classification and aggregation. It strikes me that classification and aggregation are important places for preparers to exercise judgment whether they use IFRS or IFRS for SMEs. And in the explanation in paragraph 38D, I guess, it refers to basis of conclusions 156 to 158, but there's not really any guidance about disaggregation in those paragraphs. 157E simply says, disaggregations of amounts presented in SME's financial statements are important for an understanding of those statements. So those paragraphs say it's important, but they don't provide a lot of guidance. Now, the SME's thing does provide some direction in chapters 3 and 4 on aggregation and classification. But it does strike me that some of those principles could be usefully invoked, perhaps a very sharply reduced subset so it doesn't get too long. But I still think it's a really important judgment call, classification and aggregation, and that chapter we should consider putting at least some of it into Chapter 2.
Okay. Are there any more comments to be made? No? So that brings us to the questions. Can we vote for the questions as a whole? I believe we heard a broad agreement. Yeah, please.
Or we can take the retained status of Section 2 as a separate vote and the rest as a separate vote.
Okay, so first on sub-question A, who agrees with the staff's recommendation?
Ten.
Okay. And then, Yusuf, you said the others can be taken together?
Yes.
Yes, so the remaining questions, who supports the staff's recommendation?
12th.
Okay. Then Yusuf, you can, or who's going to present the third paper? Yusuf again,
yes,
right?
Myself, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Hans. Okay. Agenda paper 30C asks the board to decide whether to propose an amendment to the IFRS for SMEs standard to supplement the list of examples in section 11 of the standard with a principle for classifying financial assets based on their contractual cash flow characteristics. The flowchart in paragraph 13 of the agenda paper outlines the process for classifying financial assets to determine how they will be measured if such a supplementary principle was included in the IFRS for SMEs standard. The request for information sought views on supplementing the list of examples in section 11 with a principle for classifying financial assets. Overall feedback supported supplementing the list of examples in Section 11 with a principle for classifying financial assets based on their contractual cash flow characteristics. Applying the principle of relevance to SMEs, the staff note the IFRS for SMEs standard already includes classification requirements for financial assets. The board's objective in seeking views in the request for information was to be helpful in the circumstance in which a financial asset does not match the characteristics described in the examples in Section 11. Accordingly, the staff think that introducing the supplementary principle will result in relevant information and ease application for entities applying the IFRS for SMEs standard in the circumstance in which a financial asset does not match the characteristics described in the examples in Section 11. Applying the principle of simplicity, the staff think the board should confirm a couple of simplifications for the classification of financial assets, applying the supplementary principle discussed in the request for information. That is, first, not introducing the requirement to determine how financial assets should be classified and measured on the basis of the entity's business model for managing the financial asset. And second, not introducing the option to present in other comprehensive income subsequent changes in the fair value of an investment in an equity instrument. As discussed in paragraphs 38 to 40 of the agenda paper, the staff think those simplifications would not impede faithful representation. In considering the cost and benefits, the staff do not foresee any significant application cost for SMEs related to applying the supplementary principle and think the benefits to preparers and users of SME financial statement would outweigh the cost of introducing the supplementary principle in the IFRS for SMEs standard. I now hand over to the board for discussion. The question for the board is set out on page 13 of the agenda paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Yusuf. The floor is open. Does this signify, Sue?
Yusuf, I think I agree with your punchline in terms of recommending that we introduce this principle in the standard, because of course the contractual cash flow characteristics in IFRS 9 are a beautiful thing. But how much detail do we think we're going to need for people to understand what it means? Because, you know, that's quite a, in itself, even though it's a simple idea, it's got a heck of a lot of guidance accompanying it in IFRS 9 for people to know how to apply that simple idea.
So based, if I may respond.
Yes.
Yes. So based on the feedback, on the overall feedback from preparers to keep the standard simple, so we would need to draft something in line with that general principle. But we think that some guidance around the SPPI, the solely payment of principle, would be helpful to for SMEs to apply it for those financial assets that do not fall into the existing example in Section 11. And the other point to flag up is, based also on feedback we received, is we think most of the financial assets that SMEs hold would be within the examples and conditions in Section 11. So we think very few financial assets would fall within the scope where they would need to apply the supplementary principle of the SPPI tests.
Any other questions? Anne?
Thanks, Hans. Yes, in the feedback, and particularly in the SMEG meeting where all these things were discussed, people did talk about the principle, the complexity of bringing in this principle, which is the point Sue's making, and some people were concerned, and that's in the paper as well, and people were concerned about making the IFRS for SMEs more complex and requiring more judgment in it. And we've heard from our first paper today that feedback from preparers that said to remember about keeping things simple in the IFRS for SMEs. So I think we have to trade that off against how beneficial it would be to have the principle rather than just the list of examples. And I do think the feedback from many people was in favour of having the principle. So our challenge will be being able to explain enough on the principle. Also to that point, I was thinking about the diagram in the paper, and the diagram, it's on figure one, wherever it is, trying to explain how the principle would, or show pictorially how the principle would work. Page five, and that was in the RFI, and I'm just working on the assumption that it would go forward into a education module or something like that. If it wasn't in the standard, I don't know if the staff have actually thought about whether it goes in the standard or not, but presumably it would go in an education model. And so some guidance around that accompanied the diagram would be part of helping people apply the principle. Thank you.
Any other questions? Can I then see who supports the staff's recommendation?
Subject to what it looks like.
Of course.
12.
All right. Okay. So, does that bring us to the end of today's discussions? I think it does.
Yes.
And we will resume our conversation tomorrow at 9:30. Thank you so much.